Well,
it is. That was a terrible start. Well, it is another week, and this is.
It appears you've gone back to being 13 all over again.
Well,
this is Andrew, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. You know, listening to the as we come on, you have the title as pastor, and I'm just Andrew. I don't know if we need to correct that. If I need to get some kind of,
we could maybe give you some type of,
I don't know.
Like if you were going to choose a title, what would
my title at work is executive director.
Right.
I just think it would be weird.
Right.
Executive. You're like, hey, this is executive director Andrew Wood. I'm like,
could we just create an additional title for you that would be unrelated to radio or ministry at all?
Just sure.
Something.
Sure.
Like the Prince of Awesomeness.
No, that's good. That's good. I would prefer King, but Prince is okay.
You gotta settle sometimes.
You gotta settle. So, we are, it's hot. And you know, I really get tired.
It is hot.
I really get tired when people don't know how to do small talk. And so they talk about dumb things like the weather,
but we're going to actually talk briefly about the weather
because it is truly
newsworthy.
I took our dog out the other night at like 2:30 in the morning because he was pacing and needed to go out. And I could barely breathe
when
I got outside. And if I have one pet peeve, I don't mind sweating if I'm playing a sport, if I'm outside, if I'm having fun, if I'm at Dollywood.
You do not want to sweat when you're standing.
I don't want to sweat when I'm standing, and I don't want to sweat in dress clothes. If I'm on the farm in a sleeveless shirt or no problem. I'm sweating. I'm supposed to sweat. I'm in work clothes.
Right.
But when I'm in like work clothes, like church clothes, I don't want to sweat.
Yeah, I get that.
It's frustrating.
I think that's fairly common sentiment among a lot of people.
And that's where we are currently.
Well, we woke up earlier today, and I was walking upstairs and was going to wake up our boys. And as I walked upstairs, it was notably like significantly warmer upstairs.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, man. And so indeed our temperature was showing at a much higher temperature than it's supposed to be. The only thing that we're hoping, though, and we're kind of giving it and have given it through the day to see if it'll maybe somehow catch up. Yesterday, we actually kept the doors open a decent amount because we had some things being delivered. The boys actually got a bunk bed.
Awesome.
Two of the boys got a bunk bed. They were in and out of the house quite a bit. The front door stayed open a decent amount for a couple hours. And we're thinking maybe it didn't catch up. I highly doubt that's the case.
Yeah, I've been there.
Most likely tomorrow morning there will be a call going to, the air conditioning.
Well, did
company.
You see that there was a statistic going around or a study going around, I believe from some part of the government. And it recommends, listen to how insane this is, or maybe it's not insane to you, it's insane to me. It recommends that when you're at home, you keep the thermostat at 78 degrees.
Nope.
And when you're away, you keep it at over 80 degrees. At that point, why do you have an air conditioner?
That's correct.
Like, why not just turn it off?
Because it's stuffy.
It's not going to get that.
78 degrees is stuffy.
That's insane. They're like, when you're sleeping, put it at 77.
Well, the catch is, we can hear ourselves saying this, and we recognize that there are people all around the world that don't have the luxuries of air conditioning and things of that sort. But I will say this, and I've traveled to a lot of places around this world. There is also the fine science of enjoying a breeze. And so the idea of like, I'm going to keep 78 degrees, but I'm going to keep the windows shut and I'm going to have no real, like, I mean, I understand you can have a fan going and the air can be circulating, but that is a different thing.
Over the last week and a half here in East Tennessee, if you put the windows up at home and turn the air off, it would not have been a breeze at all. We drove by somewhere the other day, and my daughter said, who's three, Daddy, what's wrong with the flag? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because there was no wind at all.
It was just droopy.
And she was like, what's wrong with the flag? Why isn't it waving? I was like, well, flags don't just wave. That would be pretty awesome. And it's awesome that in her little mind,
that is sweet.
She believes that flags just wave.
That is sweet.
Because there was no breeze whatsoever.
My oldest son, had a baseball tournament this weekend. Shocker that we were at the baseball field, you know. But indeed, there's one particular field at Knox County Sports Park that we were playing at that is that has this huge row of beautiful trees right next to it. And the entire Friday afternoon and evening, I kept just wishing, is there a possibility that we're going to play on that field?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility we're going to play on that field? Because basically you can end up playing on that field multiple times through the weekend. And I showed up Saturday morning and we were on that field.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I thought I was going to weep a little bit because it truly is. It's probably 20 degrees cooler under those trees. And so,
And you know, hey, we're tough. I mean, disregard the last 10 minutes where we talked about
the weather,
about it being hot. We're tough. All I'm saying is my thermostat's not going to be ever on 78.
Right. So, so today we're going to talk about, something that I think some people, what about this transition, would consider a toughness issue.
Right.
And it is an issue of anxiety that sometimes people say, hey, you know, I can just kind of tough it out. I can kind of work my way through it. I can just kind of fight things head on. But the truth is, this time of the year, I don't know for you, but man, this time of the year for a lot of people has a tendency to bring on anxiety. Do you sense that ever?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was a very anxious child.
Okay.
And so that anxiety always presented itself more when school started back and you kind of get out of the, hey, summer has been here. Summer has been fun. We got to sleep in. We got to kind of do different things, go on vacation. And then bam, school's back. You got to start studying. You got to pack your backpack and all these things. And so that kind of hit me hard in third and fourth grade. And really was a burden and was a heavy burden until on into middle school, and then my parents divorced and that kind of did some things. But so there was a lot of anxiety there. But I sense now as a grown person as a dad to four and a husband and, you know, having responsibilities and a job.
I like that as a title. Hi, I'm Andrew Wood, grown person.
Grown person. That's right. I mean, I think that.
Anyways, continue.
And so as we do these things, I sense every year when we get to the fall, when school starts back, even though I'm not in school,
right?
Even though my kids love school, I sense in my gut, like, oh, am I getting anxious? Is there some anxiety popping up that doesn't need to pop up? How do I counteract that? What do I need to do? What are some things going on in my life that I may not be aware of or not paying attention to? And so I always sense this. That's why I texted you last night. It was like, hey, maybe anxiety is something, at least I sense with myself. And I know that students are sensing it. I know that teachers probably sense it because they're back in school and maybe they have a new principal this year or they have a new class.
Right.
Or maybe it's their first year of teaching. I think the fall, when things kind of get back into flow, anxiety tends to come with that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that certainly there are, I'm sure, a lot of our listeners that battle with various things, whether it is anxiety, whether it is depression, whether it is some type of, stress-related issue. And I think that many people would say, no, this is just something that I live with year in, year out,
right.
Day in and day out. And we understand that, but we also understand, that with anxiety, there are often things that are triggers for that. I've shared our story quite a bit, and I want to share a little bit more, after the break about a specific incident for me. But you know, my oldest son has Tourette syndrome, and you say, well, how does that really play into, anxiety? It's not so much that he battles anxiety. He actually deals with some OCD type things. But the point is, it's just a reminder to us of really how complex our minds are, one, and our bodies are, but also how interconnected those things are to so many other things, you know, and sometimes it is, hey, new things have begun. A new season has begun. New tensions and stresses have entered into my life. And so, yes, I think some people who say this may be seasonal, while we recognize that there are a whole lot of people that said, no, this is just year round.
Right.
For some, it is seasonal, and this has to be one of those seasons.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing that I can even look at my family makeup and go, I mean, we, some of my family members even wore it as a badge of honor. Like, we're the warriors.
Right.
We're the, you got something that you don't want to worry about, tell me and I'll worry about it for you. And so, there was moments of growing up seeing that as a kid and going, wow, like, we legitimately do that.
We are celebrating
as a family.
This,
we celebrate worry. We celebrate anxiety. And so I watched that as a kid. Then I started feeling it in my own life of, hold on, I just can't even explain. There was moments where I couldn't even explain the tears. I couldn't explain what I was dealing with. Do you feel bad? No.
Right.
Well, what's going on in your life? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, something terrible happened?
I don't know. I just feel weird today.
Right.
And I feel on edge today. And every now and then it kind of presents itself. It's one of those things I think for me at least, I thought, okay, well, when I grow up, this won't be an issue. It's an issue because my brain's not fully developed as a child. And now every now and then I'm like, oh no, it's.
You're like, oh wait.
Hold on. I'm a grown person.
Yeah.
And it's presenting itself today. Right. And so I think we have to deal with this as a reality that we struggle with.
Well, I think there's probably the other side of the spectrum too. So you talked about growing up in a family that it celebrated it and embraced it. And again, I get it. It's, you know, it's one of these things you kind of are fascinated with, even in our culture today, you know, not so much with worry, but with like busyness.
Right.
You know, it's like this badge of honor. How you doing? Woo-hoo-hoo!
Busy.
Exhausted. You're like, wow. Yeah. Man, like I can think of one person in particular that truly every time I speak to her, how are you doing? I mean, could this week be any wilder? And you're like, I mean, I guess not. I don't really know. But yes, there is kind of that, there's that end of the spectrum that we kind of elevated and celebrated worry and anxiety. But on the other hand, I think there's also a whole lot of people that sit really, really quietly with these things. And I think at times they feel alone. They feel alienated. They feel almost dysfunctional or broken to some degree. And our goal today is to try to find some happy medium in there, is to bring it to light, for us to talk about this, talk about some next steps, talk about some helpful approaches towards anxiety and worry. But on the other hand, we don't want to just celebrate it. We don't want to just say, hey, yeah, it's part of life. Let's just live with it. Rather, let's say, okay, we're going to recognize it's a part of life, but let's try to improve in it and let's try to find health in it.
Well, and some of that, the putting it on and the celebrating of it, it's almost as if we have already worked out all the scenarios in our mind of what could possibly happen.
Right.
And none of those are good.
No.
And so what we tend to do is we allow ourselves to go to the worst extreme of this meeting, the worst extreme of this conversation, the worst extreme of this school year. And we get ourselves to a place where it's almost as if we're already there, but we're not.
Right.
We're right here.
Yeah.
And so that's where that anxiety kind of comes up. And so when we come back from break, we'll go into, okay, we'll speak personally about some of it, some of the things that we're dealing with in our own lives, and then kind of look, okay, what does the scripture say about this?
Yeah.
What does the gospel say about this? And then we'll go from there. We'll be back. Do your dance, Jason. Do it. Do your dance. Whatever that dance is.
Do the dance.
Do
your
dance.
Do your dance.
So as we talk today about anxiety and worry and kind of looking, you know, I think at times I look back at some of these moments in my life, and at times we feel like, well, if I voice that, if I share that with someone, they may think a certain way. But it is important that we share those moments and go, look, this is where I was in that moment in time. This is why I was dealing with. I mean, I even look back at, you know, my kids have heard stories of how me and Aaron met and that I broke up.
The bowling alley.
Yeah, it was not. I was.
For those of you that met your spouse at the bowling
that's
alley.
That's fine.
It's fine.
It's
I just want to be very clear.
Yeah, bowling's awesome.
Email is Andrew
at grownman.com. And so as we look at that, and, you know, my kids know because Aaron likes to tell them that I was afraid of commitment. And so, I ran away a few times in those relationships and ended it because I was like, okay, this seems like it's getting serious and that this might go, you know, to marriage, and that's, I'm not there yet.
Right.
And,
that's going to require me to be responsible.
Yeah. And so, the other day, Gavin said, something to the effect of like, Aaron or, daddy dropped mama, like I was like, well, that's weird that as an 8-year old that you're already using that type of language. And probably says a lot about us, but as I was looking at that, I was like, no, I mean, really the reason why I ended it was because of anxiety and worry and fear, and not knowing what that might hold. And I saw my brothers have relationships that were very serious end and have their hearts ripped out, and my parents, you know, and all this. And so looking back now, I'm going, no, it was clearly because of those things, not because I would just wanted to see what other fish were in the sea. No, it was because I was terrified of the fish that were in the city.
I do think that, you know, there is a value in sharing some of our own stories. And so it's, I wouldn't say coincidental. I think, it's interesting. So Andrew and I do spend a ton of time together. We really do spend a lot of time together, but we're not exchanging messages every moment of every day.
Right.
And we do hang out beyond the studio. But some, there's weeks that we just can't catch up.
Yeah.
And, candidly, this week has been one of those. And so we texted last night, trying to discuss, specific subjects. Mm-hmm. I proposed the beginning of football season.
Yeah.
For some reason, you didn't feel like that was,
which we
really
can talk about.
You didn't,
for sure.
Maybe we'll do that for the very, very last segment, when we've lost all of our listeners anyways, you know, but so we did kind of go back and forth, and there's a few things that are happening in the news that we probably need to allow to shake out a bit before we jump in on. And he mentioned anxiety, and I thought, wow, what an interesting kind of out of the blue subject that he would mention. Because I think I've shared on air. I know that our church body knows that I have, battled with anxiety at times. In fact, I see it's one of the most important, if not the most important kind of scheduled meeting I have, or a couple meetings that I have of the month, is to go and see my buddy TL, and he's my counselor, and I meet with him. I also, kind of established several years ago, I've tried on and off, but several years ago, went on a 10 milligram of Lexapro, to battle some of that stuff, anxiety. I don't really deal with the depression side of that, but I'd certainly deal with some of the anxiety. And I think a lot of that comes with some of the responsibilities that fall in ministry and kind of carrying the burden for a lot of folks. And then also, I'm probably a unique mix. There's a little bit in me that's certainly the visionary and the leader. There's a whole lot of me that's the shepherd that just wants to care for the flock. And you know, the shepherd will sometimes say that we've got to go, like we got to lead. Mm-hmm. He's got to lead. We got to get to the other field. You know, that there's harm over here, or we're out of grass over here. We got to take the sheep to the other side of the field. But there's also the side of the shepherd that just wants to kind of love on and care for the sheep and make sure they're healthy and make sure that they're nurtured and things of that sort. And I probably feel that weight a lot, and don't ever want to hurt people. Don't want people to be misunderstood, or, you know, don't want people to misunderstand what we're trying to do as a church. Don't want people to feel lonely or isolated or disconnected. I mean, all of those things, or if their marriage is in crisis, or their, you know, family member sick. I mean, those things weigh on me. And so, years ago, as I said, I began walking through this journey. I'm 41 years old now. I know I look 32, but no. They're like, actually 62.
No,
yeah, you look
really
62.
41?
Yeah, yeah. Shocker. Well, good for you. But anyways, yeah. So years ago, I started kind of dealing with this again. So my ongoing care is counseling, a very small amount of kind of medicinal help, and some kind of continued just things that I put before the Lord and ask His help in it. And I am one of those advocates that would say, let's use all things that the Lord's given us. I'm not the one that's anti-medicine. I'm also not the one that's only medicine. And so there's that. But again, it's interesting that you had no idea. We walked into the studio, and what did I whisper to you as we had
you were like, so you knew about this week. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So again, our people don't even know this to the full extent. But I had, for all practical purposes, they call it an acute stress event, which some might call an anxiety attack or a panic attack. They are actually different things. But Wednesday evening, out of the blue, yes, it had been a fairly busy week, a stressful week. My hunch is just a lot of things had compounded. But on Wednesday night, about 7:30, we've been out to dinner. Carrie and I have been out to dinner. I came home from the office about 5:30. We took myself, Carrie, and our three boys. We went to Chewy's. Chewy's is a happy place.
Yeah, good.
You know, chips, salsa, the whole deal, jalapeno ranch dip. I mean, it's all so that good. Stuff, you know, or jalapeno salsa, or what do they call it? Jalapeno ranch, I think.
Chewy salsa.
Anyways, yes, it's the deliciousness. And about 7:30, I'm preparing for an elders meeting that should not have been overly stressful.
Right.
Those guys are life-giving to me. But at 7:30, I went down, like straight went down, like to the floor, like I'm having a heart attack. I thought I was having a heart attack. Felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. But then it got weird. So I'm like, okay, we're going to have to deal with this. But then it began to get real weird. And it got weird to the point of, all right, Carrie, we're going to, you know, we probably need to deal with this. And in my brain, I'm thinking it's probably stress. Knowing some of the times that I've battled with these things. And there's been moments along the way that I've sensed, you know, like tightness in my chest,
right,
or things of that sort. But no, I just like, I've got a wife and three boys and a church. Like, I don't need to just kind of dismiss this.
Right.
So we're going to go to the ER. And so I say to Carrie, we've got to tell the elders that I'm not going to make it. And they would want to know anyways.
Sure.
And so we have seven elders, and I couldn't remember them. Hmm. Like, legitimately, she was like, okay, remind me. I know it's so-and-so, so-and-so. Because, you know, we've had rotation and things in our elders. And she said, so who do all do I need to text? And I literally sat there and could not remember men that I do life with. Like, my brain was not firing incorrect in the right manners. And then soon after that, I just became an emotional wreck. Like, and I don't know if I was worried about my chest. I don't know if I was confused about things, but I just became emotional, like legitimately weeping on and off for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you do all the tests, and they're going to continue to do some things. And you know, I've got to do a stress test in the coming days. I've got some tests even just right after this. And so, yes, that stuff's happening, but it seems to have been an acute stress event. And so much of that is anxiety. It is worry. It is the weight of ministry. It is the weight of kind of the world. It's the weight of some of my own hardships. Mm-hmm. But I share that today, and we're going to talk more when we come back from break. But I share that to say, if you're one of those folks, and sometimes it feels like the sky is falling, and just know you're not alone.
Yeah.
The guy that's on the radio, the guy that's standing up in front of people. I went and preached three services on Sunday, and it was a great day. God still used me, and God still pushed forward, but that doesn't minimize what happened on Wednesday. And so we'll talk more about it when we come back.
So as we come back and continue the conversation, Jason, first off, man, you know, it was interesting when we came in today and you were like, oh, did you know or did you hear? And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Pregnant. No, we're not.
I didn't want it to seem like I heard through the grapevine and then I text you that as a way to, yeah, you're going to tell me what happened. That was certainly not the case, but it is interesting how the Lord works those things out.
Sure.
that you have been dealing with that very personally over the last week, that I have sensed it in my gut and in my spirit, with school starting back and with the fall coming. You know, I sense it when we have board meetings, when we have those conversations, even though even though I know, hey, these are going to go great. These are life-giving moments.
Yeah. Or maybe they might not go great, but God's faithful.
Yeah. And there's still those moments of, again, we put in our mind, even though we don't think we're doing it intentionally, we go, but what if it goes like this?
Right.
Or
right.
What if this is said? Or what if, we allow that kind of that, that to kind of harm us. And I think it's important that people listening understand, look, this worry and anxiety doesn't just happen to lost people.
Right.
Worry and anxiety doesn't just happen to business people.
Right.
It definitely happens to ministry people, to pastors, to church people, to gospel people. I would say the meetings that I get to have with not just other pastors, but other people that are in the work that I do, like the pregnancy center work,
right,
that are running large organizations that have large budgets, that have large staffs. Every time I meet with them, there's a part of me that goes away going, hold on, I don't know if this is what I want for my family.
Yeah.
Because of the hurt, because of the brokenness, because of some of the attacks that they see and the struggles that they see, it's a moment of, oh, this is what the scripture means when it says none of this is going to be easy.
Right.
This is why when Jesus says, tells the disciples, hey, drop what you're doing and follow me. That's not just an easy first step.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that this is real, but it's hard to even have a conversation about it if we're not willing to open up and talk to people about it.
Yeah, and so our hope is in this kind of last full segment here is for us just to give you some practical help. And so, you know, I would look towards the scripture initially. Mm-hmm. The we know that there's never a moment that the Lord has abandoned us. There's never a moment that the Lord has escaped us. That there's never a moment that he's put anything on us that I want to be very clear. Now,
right.
This is one of these things. You hear this often statement of, you know, the Lord's not going to put anything on that you can't handle. Well, the truth is there's going to be all kinds of things in your life that you can't handle. Catch is there's going to be nothing he's going to put on you that you and it's nothing that he can't handle.
Right.
And so in these moments of hardship and, you know, I mean, we were talking off air, you know, Jesus literally, you know, weeping, Jesus, sweating blood, and fully aware of what's coming and still experiencing kind of the fullness of humanity, including, things like anxiety and things like that. And so there are moments that we are going to have to simply say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. That's a starting point. But also, I would begin to tell people, you know, to really, really do not try to sweep this under the rug. Mm-hmm. You know, like that, there's some, you know, secondary steps that we'll try to get to here in a moment. But a first and foremost step. All right. So one, we're going to continue to pursue the Lord. But two is that we're going to not be in isolation in this. And so if you're out there today listening, and you're saying, man, I am struggling with this, or I have struggled with this for a long time, and I don't know if anyone ever feels this way. May you take some encouragement in what I've shared, what we're talking about today. But don't just stop there. Go and break the isolation. Ask if you can sit down and have a meeting with your pastor and say, can we, and I want to be very clear. You know, pastors are not always all professional counselors. I have some counseling training, but I am in no fashion a professional counselor. But we can point you to some really wonderful resources in our community. There are all kinds of wonderful counselors in our community. Do not hesitate to go to your physical doctor as well. You know, this is interconnected. There's times that sometimes, again, physiology is a unique deal when you consider how your mind and your body are interconnected. And so please do not stay in isolation. Share it with a friend, share it with a pastor, move towards steps of like, I'm going to cognitively attempt and tangibly attempt to really begin to address this. It's not going to go away overnight.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, as someone who's dealt with it for many, many years, it's probably not going to go away, or it may not go away to the degree that you wish it would.
Yeah.
But it can become something that you can at least know, identify, and try to process through with the help of a number of other things.
Well, I think it's important, too, that you mentioned earlier that depression for you is not really a part of it.
Right.
I think a lot of people, when they think of this, they think, well, it's the depression issue, and I'm not depressed, so I'm not going to go tell anybody.
Right.
And so I would just say that I'm the same way. I haven't really dealt with depression but I certainly have dealt with anxiety.
Right.
And almost that crippling, like, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah.
If I sit here long enough, it'll just go away. I won't have to deal with some of these responsibilities that are
right.
bringing this on. And what we tend to do in those moments is we don't go to the Word.
Right.
We go to some self-help book, or
right.
we go to some.
Or we turn to ourselves. Like, we can't fix ourselves.
Yeah. And so what we need to do is understand in those moments that, our Jesus is one that we see in Hebrews that took on everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that we can connect to, He can connect with us on every level. You've lost somebody. He's lost somebody.
Yeah, fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
And so that meant He experienced the fullness of the weight of mm-hmm. the things that we battle, you know, while never falling into sin,
yeah.
still feeling the yep. fullness of the weight that comes with just living this life.
Yeah, yeah. Which says, and I think it's important to note too, that doesn't mean that your anxiety and your fear is sin.
Right.
And I think sometimes we equate that, well, I'm not Christian enough.
I don't have enough faith.
Yeah. Clearly I'm not strong, and I'm not as strong as them. And I think it's important that we recognize, no, that's a lie.
Right.
that we live in a broken post-Genesis 3 world that we've talked about on here, you know, tons and tons
yeah,
of times.
Sure.
And so that's fractured everything. So we are trying our best to live, the way we need to live, but there's going to be moments where that anxiety and that fear
right.
arises. The question is, what are we doing in those moments? Do you have people in your life that can speak into those moments? Do you have a hold of the Word that again, it's not us saying, just stop it.
Yeah.
Jason, just stop worrying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's not that easy,
or pray harder.
But it is getting us to a place where we're going, look, I know right now it's tough, but in this valley, I can look to
right.
the one that's also been in the valley.
Yeah. Let me throw out one other thing that I know that I'm trying to deal with, and probably something that maybe I even came back from sabbatical with, kind of a renewed commitment to trying to do, is that, you know, here's the deal. This world, in general, is going to bring all kinds of hardship. It is going to be plenty weighty enough, if that makes sense. It is going to be hard enough. It's gonna have enough strife and turmoil and hardship and suffering and all of these things. And that's true for ministry as well. So there are certain things that are going to exist in light of what you've just described in this fallen world. There's certain things that are going to happen that will bring or could bring on worry that we simply cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I am trying my best to do though, is because I do believe an event like I experienced last Wednesday night isn't so much just like one thing triggered it,
right.
but rather it's a compounding.
Yeah.
It is things stacked up long enough. And so here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get that which is stacking up in my pile to only be the things that I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to deal with if there's this unique dynamic, among me and someone else, then don't sit back and allow it to fester for 3 months and it to become this thing that's stressful. Just talk about it.
Yeah.
That's why I'd like to set up a meeting with you after
right.
this. No, no.
That's why I want to tell you that I don't like you.
Yeah. No, I mean, but to do that, if there is a pattern in your schedule, if there is a something that you've somehow committed to, that you wish you didn't
yeah.
commit to, and I'm not telling everyone to go and bail on
right.
commitments.
I'm out.
But if there are things that you can control, that again, it may not be the answers just to absolve yourself, just to get out, but to say, I am going to do things that I can do to make certain situations, scenarios, events, circumstances, whatever you want to call it, in my life that bring worry to me. If I can just speak to those things,
yeah.
if I can bring those things to the light, if I can begin to move the needle in
yeah.
some of those areas, then just maybe when the things that I can't control come in, I don't feel quite
yeah.
so weighted down.
When it's amazing what peace comes when you look at someone and says, hey, here's something I'm anxious about.
Yeah.
And just that, just saying it out loud,
yeah.
it's freeing. And,
yeah.
and a lot of times they're very receptive to hear it.
Right. Yeah,
and, absolutely. Unlike what we think they would be. We'll talk when we come back.
I'm ready for you.
So as we continue this conversation on anxiety and worry, I think hopefully it's been fruitful, and hopefully it's at the very least it's allowed us to kind of voice some things, and that's been helpful for us selfishly, but hopefully it's been helpful for those that are listening, that are also getting a sense of, oh, okay, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that's struggling with this, and look, and also I think at times we kind of joke about it. Oh, school's starting to back. I'm so worried. And we make light of it, but that's a reality. So every day I'm taking the kids to school, I'm like watching, because I know what that meant for me as a kid, what that could bring. And so I'm always looking for signs. Is there worry here?
Right.
Is there concern here? Is there anxiety here? How can we make this a happy, joyful time? Knowing that that's going to come,
right.
Knowing that some tough days are going to come.
And I think our hope is that, you know, we all want to be, you know, we want to be a better husband or a better wife or a better friend or neighbor, or we really do want to exalt Christ, glorify God in the way that we walk through this world. And I think that it is, we have to be mindful that we need to give ourselves care so that we can care for others better. You know, yesterday I was up really early. I had gone yesterday to work out with a friend. Four out of 7 days. I'm doing okay. You know, so I got up and it was like 5:30.
Ugh.
He actually happens to have kind of a barn area that he works out in. And so we were there, and there's windows all through it, and call it a barn. It's not like a barn that, you know, like,
right.
It's
not
nice.
A hay barn.
No. But there's windows all the way around. And so like the morning sun was starting to come in, and he had lights on thing. All this to say, like, multiple times I saw myself in the mirror. I mean, not in the mirror, in the window, but I was like seeing myself from angles that I'm not used to seeing myself.
Right.
And I'd be like, do I look like that? And it wasn't so much like, wow, he's extra husky today,
you
know, but it was more like, wow, that's an expression I'm not used to seeing. And I think there's a point that, we want to continue to deal and like look at ourselves. We want to look at these issues about worry or about anxiety or stress. We want to look at ourselves, not for the sake of just like, hey, I can make me better or I can make myself healthier.
Right.
But because I sense it. Like, I sense that when I'm wired up, I may have a short fuse with my wife or with my boys,
mm-hmm.
or when I feel like the weight of the day has been so heavy that I don't have the energy to walk across the street and to be a good neighbor. You know, I don't have the energy to stop and to help that person clearly in need. I mean, those are things that are important to us. And so our encouragement is, we would wrap up this discussion about worry, and then we're going to ask ourselves one question about college football, because this is important, you know. But as again, you're not alone. Don't allow yourself to remain alone in this. Address the things that you can control. And then at the end of the day, realize that you're not doing it just for your sake, but you're also doing it for the sake of others.
Absolutely.
So today.
Yep.
We look at the imminent return of college football this Saturday. Give me one sleeper pick, not like of a specific game, but one college football program that we need to keep our eye on this year.
This is hard for me to say.
Okay.
Because they're in the SEC and they're not wearing orange. I think Kentucky is going to be better than a lot of people believe.
You think last year was not a fluke?
No, I don't.
Wow.
And they have a dude on their team named Cash Daniel.
And so basically,
he's
got guaranteed a mullet.
He's like,
win games.
He's like everything you would want on your football team. I think they're going to be, better than a lot of people hope.
I fear, not a hot take at all, but I do fear that Florida is really at the beginnings of just being consistently good for several years.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I rebuke that.
Since we've not been able to beat them when they've been bad.
That's true.
It's not overly
good for us.
One
thing I will say, though, I've kind of not paid much attention to UT football just because they break my heart so many times, but I've been seeing glimpses lately, and I'm all in. I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to be heartbroken again this year.
Final hot take, University of Tennessee, national champions. Feels like 98. We'll see you next week.
I think we got 9 wins in us.